Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. We thank God for another night where we can get together and study the Word of God. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., we are thankful for, they call this a Holy Thursday, as this a week leading up to Easter. You know, on tomorrow they call it a Good Friday. And then we go through the weekend till sunrise service or resurrection service.
Yeah.
Where we celebrate the risen Savior, Jesus Christ of God. And it's an exciting time to be a part of witnessing that we rehearse and we remember and reflect on God loving us so much that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so we are grateful to celebrate that this week. And as we were celebrating that, we look at the lives of so many who have gone on to be with the Lord, who have helped us to celebrate, particularly our family and friends, loved ones, mothers, fathers, grandfathers, and those that are in our church and body of Christ, that so many times this year are so special. We remember all of those who celebrated Easter. I know we used to go, we used to get like brand new shoes or Easter suit or we get new patent leather shoes and get a new tie, or get the Easter egg hunt, and we would get the Easter eggs with the chocolate in them and the gummy, what do you call those, jelly beans and those little marshmallow things. And it was just a time in the spring where you're out of school and you spent time with your family and friends. And it was a special time to celebrate life and celebrate the birth of Christ. And just, as you got older, you realized how special it was, what God had done through his son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. And as you experience that and you experience the love of God, the love of Christ, what happens is your walk with God became more serious, more committed, and you began to want others to know about the love of God. And that's what this refreshing, resurrection will do for your life, and will remind you that your living is not in vain, serving the Lord is not in vain. And to see the joy on so many people's faces on Resurrection Sunday, your children, your family. You know, this past Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday, and it was great to be able to reflect on how Jesus came to carry out what was left on record for him to do, what was prophesied, leads us over into what Paul was doing in Acts 20. Is he's carrying out what God wants us to do, carrying out the Great Commission. He's carrying out what God wants him to do in his life. And as he's coming to the end of his life, he's reflecting about how he didn't neglect to teach good, bad, in season, out of season, whatever it took, because of his relationship that had developed with God. And so as we celebrate, you know, the Holy Week and the Palm Sunday and Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, it gives you a commitment to, should give us a commitment to carry out what God has for our lives, considering and taking into account everything that God has done so that we can live and have the right to eternal life. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, as you were reflecting on that, of how it was, what it meant to us as children, and then what it means to as we grow closer and closer to Christ, it made me think about, there was a song that we used to sing in church. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And that's what that relationship and growing and understanding, truly understanding the sacrifice that he made, the true meaning of the resurrection. And the more you study his word, because we even this past Sunday in Sunday school, the lesson was on the Lord's Supper. Now, as much as often as we eat and as often as we read that scripture every month, to break it down in a Sunday school lesson was so powerful, and how it meant that relationship with him and remembrance, the whole, you know, was when he was getting on the Church of Corinth about, you know, when you eat at home if you're just going to do it for eating, and don't use this as a celebration, but you got to do it to remember him. So he was bringing, Paul at that point in his letter to Corinth was bringing that back to remembrance, and it brought us, as we started talking about it, that, yeah, you know what, we do. When we do, whether it comes to service, whether we're doing communion, whether it's Easter, Christmas, those are times for us to really renew and think about the relationship and the true sacrifice that he made for us.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, you know, along with reflecting on what the Lord did, it also was a time for us to do some self-examination. You know, we just go through the motions. We hit Palm Sunday, then we come along with Good Friday and Easter Sunday. But for a lot of people, it's just, you know, routine. It's just something that they do. But, you know, since we've been back in the building, I've been trying to really hit home that we really need to take some time and seriously reflect on how good the Lord has been.
Amen. That is so true. And you know, when you reflect that, it all the memories, you know, they flood back of, you know, the lessons you learned in Sunday school, the lessons you learned in Bible study, the lessons you learned at home, and all the preparations that you have is really fantastic to see what Jesus did to actually get us to this point where we can celebrate. And
right.
You know, it should give us a way of really focusing in on what he wants us to do. As I look at this book of Acts, it really lets us see Paul's commitment to it. And if we learn anything from Paul, you know, when he got knocked off of that donkey on a street called Straight, he took his zeal of persecuting the Lord and turned that zeal into working for the Lord, working for the cause of Christ. And as we reflect back during this time of Easter and resurrection, we should be re-energized to that first love when we first met the Lord, how we got a zeal and wanted to tell everybody what the Lord has done for me and share, you know, salvation with everyone. And when you see Paul's work here toward the end of his earthly ministry, you see that he had the same zeal. He had that same compassion. He had that same wanting to share and exhort. And you know, if we look at our lives, you know, like you were saying, Sheila, sometimes, you know, we take it for granted and sometimes we just go through the motion. But this time of year, we should be reinvigorated. We should be, you know, perked up again, like the buds on the trees and the flowers and the tulips. I know Mom used to put tulips in the yard, and she had a rose bush in the front. And, you know, they, every year it would come out, and you see the rose bushes in the front of the yard. You see the tulips. You see the azaleas start to bloom, and then all the little buds on the tree, and everybody complained about the pollen on the car. But you need all of this to be able to experience the glorious spring that God brings us out of winter. And so it should propel us to be more committed and refreshed to go spread that word. And this is what Paul is doing. Paul is spreading that word, and he's warning people. Last week we talked about the wolves in sheep clothing, and he's warning them about, you know, the stuff that's going to happen in the church. And, you know, we were talking about how the church beats up on the church. And Paul's saying, when I leave, folk right in your very midst are going to act up. And you were talking about Jesus, and you were talking about the disciples as his last days were, how his disciples were influenced by Satan. And, you know, even to the point where Judas was going to betray him, and Jesus was saying, hey, the guy that's going to dip this in the bread with me, he's going to betray me. And then he did, and Jesus said, do it quickly, whatever you got to do. And it's just like, these are your inner circle, and Jesus knew, and yet he still stayed committed to fulfilling the prophecy, fulfilling his destiny on earth. And that's what we have to do, and we can't get dissuaded, we can't get discouraged, but we have to continue. And it's a blessing to be able to have these lessons, to be able to have this word that lets us know that even in the midst of being betrayed, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of struggle, you know, that God is still with us, and God has a plan, and God will never leave us nor forsake us. Sheila G.
And the key to that is knowing that God will never leave us nor forsake us, but realizing that Satan is out there to come against us. And that's what Paul was saying. He's like, I have taught you, I've shown you how to be committed to the Lord. We have to trust in the Lord, but we too have to be aware that Satan's going to come at us to try to sift us like wheat. So we have to be prepared that when we're on the high on the Lord, like Paul said, even those around you may come up against you, we have to stay wrapped up, tied up in the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, Slewfoot, as Ma used to call him, will sneak right in.
Yeah.
And you'll end up just come out of the church high as a kite, giving God the glory. And you truly are committed to the Lord, but then Satan's like a snake. Something will sneak in there and throw you off, and then, like, later on that day or later on that, you know, it's like, I had a high time in the Lord, and here comes Satan trying to knock me down.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. when you're close to the Lord, you just have to remember he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can be in an unhappy situation but still have the joy of the Lord, but always have that armor on, which is what Paul is saying, that be committed, spread the word, but recognize that Satan is not happy and he's not going to make it easy for you.
Amen, amen. So let's go to Acts 20, and I want to look at verse 29, and I'm going to read the King James. It says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And verse 30 says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." And so this is a warning Paul is giving toward the end of his ministry, and saying, hey, you know, when I leave, there's going to be some folk, there's going to be some things that are going to try to destroy the flock. There's going to be wolves and sheep clothing, and they're going to be speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And so he comes back in verse 31 and he says, "Therefore, watch and remember." And a lot of times we don't watch or remember.
Right.
Right. And so he's saying, let me explain to you how serious I was. And so in that verse 31, it says that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And I know last week we were talking about as parents and as our parents, we used to get told over and over again to do the right thing and do this. And we'd be like, whatever, you're nagging me, you're nagging me. But Paul is saying the reason that I'm preaching to you for 3 years and warning you night and day is because of the wolves, because of those that will come in, because of those that want to do you harm, because of those that don't want to see the cause of Christ move forward. And so he's saying this to remember, watch, look what I did. And so it's so important for us to set an example. Paul said, I did this with you for 3 years on this missionary journey, day and night. And this is what it's going to take. This is the type of commitment. This is the type of relationship. This is the type of work you got to put in because the enemy is coming for you. He's coming for you. He's going to try to get into the church. He's going to try to destroy the church. He's trying to get the church to turn on itself and to negate the cause of Christ. Paul said, I've demonstrated to you this 3 years, day and night. Watch, pray, be on guard. And we as a church, we have to face reality that people come and say and do all kinds of things. And they get influenced and they get led astray by folk who let Satan lead them astray. And people get into cliques, and people get into funks, and people get into all kind of things. Church end up doing everything but what the church is supposed to do. Sheila G, help me out.
Amen. And that's where all that judging comes from, people trying to tell other people what to do. But it goes back to when he talks about the 3 years that I've been with you day and night with tears, it makes me, and I know I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again, it makes me think of you and Pastor G as pastors. People feel like you all are nagging them when you're telling them, you need to come to church on a regular basis. You need to be in prayer service. You need to be in Bible study, not because of me, but because of what I know, that you will come under attack, whether
right,
it's in church,
right,
whether it's at home. But in order to keep from coming under, in order to fight back, because you're going to come under attack. The attacks are not going to come. But in order for you to be strong enough to fight back and to do what Jesus did when he was in the wilderness, you need to be in church. You need to be studying the word. You need to be in prayer service. You need to have your own daily devotions so that you can build yourself up spiritually. So when you're under attack, you won't react out of emotions. But when he said that, even last week, he was saying with tears, it made me think of the role of a pastor. It's like we as a congregation, well, look at y'all like you got two heads. Like, I heard you. Why are you trying to make me feel bad because I ain't go to church last week? Why are you making me feel bad because I didn't dial in the Bible study? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I am trying to do what God has told me to give you the tools and the weapons that you're going to need because, yes, you are saved. Yes, you have given your life to Christ, but you're still a babe, and you're not going to be strong enough to fight what Satan's going to give you if you don't instill in yourself the word of God, that spiritual connection, and that relationship with the Lord.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, when you built up and you're strong in the Lord, you don't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And I think sometimes folks miss that you're supposed to grow, and like you often say, you should be better off this year, further along in your walk this year than you were last year. But if you don't participate in your own well-being, growth, and you know, building up in the Word and in the Lord, then you keep making the same mistakes. It's like you're frustrated and you're out of whack because you haven't learned the lessons, or you haven't learned the Word that helps you to progress, and so you're just stuck and stagnant. And a lot of times you need someone to say, hey, you know, one of the definitions of insanity is keep doing the same old thing and expecting a different result. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And, you know, the bottom line is folk in the church are just hard-headed. And, you know, I guess I've gotten to the point now where, I tell them, look, I'm just going to tell you what the Lord tells me. It's up to you to accept it, take it, apply it, but I'm trying to help you grow. Mm-hmm. People within the church are just not as committed as they need to be. And they're not committed because they're not doing the things that will help them get to that point. I mean, we have been through it. You know, we not just preaching and teaching things that we don't know about. You know, the things that we're giving them, the word and everything
mm-hmm.
else,
mm-hmm.
help them grow in the body of the Lord. Because as Sheila was saying, you know, you can be in church 1 minute on a Sunday morning getting your high on and you're giving God the glory. Then as soon as you come out the door, you're arguing with your significant other. And then folk get mad and, you know, they're upset with one another, so they're not talking. And it happens too often, especially the young ones, the babes in Christ. And they don't get it. You know, it takes a sense of commitment. As Brandon would say, you got to be committed. You got to be serious. And that's the thing. When you look at Paul's life, Paul was committed. I mean, he was committed
to
finding Christians he was going to persecute. So now the Lord just turned boyfriend around, and he became committed to preaching and teaching Christ.
Amen. That's powerful. And, you know, that which you were saying earlier in that statement, Dr. G, is that, you know, you just tell them the word and you just telling them, hey, I'm trying to help you out. So in verse 32, this is what Paul is basically saying. He says in verse 32, Acts 20, verse 32, he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. In other words, what he's saying, I'm giving you over to God. He said, I'm commending you to God. And when you look at this in the NIV, he says, now I commit to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. In other words, Paul said, I'm putting you in the Lord's hand, and God can take care of you.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks look at the pastor or your parents when your parents would tell you, all right, now I done told you what you're going to do and what you need to do. And that was our question last week, was does a hard head make a soft mind? Basically, Paul is in your parents and your pastor saying, I'm going to give you over to God. And
right.
And this is what God can do. God can, by his grace, build you up and
right.
give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. In other words, he said, turn you in the hands of God. Experience his grace. He has the ability to build you up and give you everything you need so that your inheritance will be what is among those who are sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart for God. And, or in other words, cleaned up. Sanctification is like a process where you're taking out the dross. And if you want to get pure gold, you have to heat the gold in its natural form up. And then the impurities in the gold will come to the top, and you can skim off the dross, and which was left is pure gold. But in order to get the impurities out, it has to be some heat applied. Heat is hot. It's not comfortable. It causes properties to change. It causes things that are impure to separate from those that are pure. And so as we go through this sanctification process, Paul is saying God will give you a grace to be able to get through this heating process, to weed out the things that are in your life that are not of God, that are not good for you, that are not pleasing in the sight of God, that's bad for your inheritance. And in order for you to receive the inheritance that God wants you to have, those that are sanctified, in other words, those are those who have gone through the test, gone through the fire, that have allowed God to pluck and pull and remove those things in your life that are not pleasing. But too many times, folk don't want to go through that. We want to get the pure gold, but we don't want to go through the fire. Sheila G., help me out.
Exactly. And as you were reading that, the key is the stipulation on this is you have to be sanctified. You can't straddle the fence. You're either going to be committed to the Lord or you're not. You can't halfway do it. You want to receive this inheritance. Yes, you're saved. I'm going to give you the inheritance. But if you want to receive this inheritance, you got to put away those old ways. You got to strive to be closer and more committed to me, which means you got to sacrifice your flesh for your spirit. And a lot of times people don't want to do that. They see the glory. They want to be up there. They want the blessings of the Lord. They want the peace of the Lord. But they don't want to make that commitment. And if you don't make that commitment, it goes back to what we said before, you cannot receive the tools to fight the things that come up against you of this world. So if you want to be committed and you want to receive that inheritance, you have to be sanctified, set apart. And in order to get to that point, you have to be committed, meaning that you have to deny yourself, not be wise in your own eyes, but truly, truly trust in the Lord to the point that you are hungry, that you don't lose your first love, that you go after Lord, feed me, help me, strengthen me, so I in turn can strengthen others.
Amen. Dr. G?
I agree with what Sheila G was saying, and a lot of that, you know, I don't know what it is about people, but I've come to the conclusion that just like Paul did, we all have to get to a point sometime when we've preached, we've taught, we've encouraged, we've counseled, but yet there are just some people that enjoy wallowing in what they're going through and making excuses, not following through, not coming to church, come up with any old kind of excuse as to why they don't do it, but then they wonder why their lives are so messed up. You know, I don't come out and directly tell them, but, you know, I'll let them know that the Lord is trying to get your attention. And the thing is,
Amen.
At some point, you know, we have to wake up. How many times does God have to come along and slap us upside our head until we get it? But you know,
Amen.
It's like...
Amen.
You know, you talk about hard-headed children. A lot of times, we're just like Bebe's kids. We're hard-headed. And until the Lord does something to really bring us down, to let us know that he is the only one that can lift us up, we're just not satisfied.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. that word sanctified is really, I tell people salvation is free, mm-hmm. but sanctification is going to cost you. Let me slow yes. down. Let me break this down. Salvation is free.
Yes.
You're saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God. That means you're saved. Now, but in yes. order to get to the place where you can receive all of the inheritance the way it should be given, you're going to have to get sanctified. Sanctified cause is you're going to have to go through something to get that old man nature to be renewed day by day into the image of God. In other words, it's going to take some time of all that junk that has been built up in your life and that old man to get removed. It takes some time. There's some junk that's going to have to get heat. You're going to have some heat applied to your life in order to remove that junk, that dross out of your life so the Lord can skim it out. Salvation is free. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. But in order for us to be transformed into his image by the renewing of our mind, it's going to take some time. But it's going to take some application of the word of God that shines the spotlight on that dross in our life, that it's going to have to be separated from us that's not of God, so we can come forward like pure gold or like the sanctified church that God wants. But it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some serious study. It's going to cost you some serious going through. It's going to cost you some serious time in order to be sanctified or set aside for the Lord. So there's a process. There's the process of being saved and then the process of being sanctified. Salvation is free. You ain't got to do nothing. But sanctification, you're going to have to yield yourself to God. You're going to have to go through this thing of letting the word shine on you, of feeling uncomfortable, being convicted, confessing, all of those things that allow you to grow. And this is what God said. He wants to build you up. He wants to grow you. Can't stay in that same nanny-nanny boo-boo, stick your head in whatever attitude that you used to have, but you should have a more graceful attitude. You should have a more graceful relationship with God and your fellow mankind as you become sanctified, where you're showing yourself worthy of the inheritance of someone who has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sheila G, help me out. Nanny, you forgot about that nanny, nanny, boo, boo, stick your head, didn't you? You forgot about that, didn't you?
Y'all never let me forget about that one. But in all of this is this. We're all going to go through something. And a lot of times, the truth be told, sometimes we're going through stuff, and it's not so much that God wants to wake us up. It's sometimes because God is bragging on us. Then there's other times we're going through because he is convicting us because there's something that we're doing over and over again expecting a different result. The key is to know the difference. And the only way that you're going to know the difference is to be set apart, is to have that strong relationship with the Lord, so that the first thing you do when you're going through is you take an inventory of self. You do a self-examination. Okay, Lord, what am I supposed to learn from this? And then you'll know that when, okay, Lord, you're allowing me to go through this storm because you want to build me up so I can help somebody else. Or, you know what, Lord, I'm going through this because this is a consequence of what I did, or me turning my back on you or not being as committed. But by us being committed, studying his word, praying, when we go through, we will know whether it's because he's trying to wake us up or get our attention or we're convicted versus he's trying to build us up, make us struggle, because, you know, we always say another level, another devil.
That's right.
Take us next level. But you can't have that spirit of discernment to know what God is teaching you or preaching to you to make some changes in your life if you don't develop that personal relationship with him. Again, through commitment through service, commitment to church service, commitment to Bible study, commitment to personal devotion with him.
Amen, amen. So Paul breaks this down to him, and he lets him know, commit you to God and his grace, build you up, and you can be sanctified. Now, before they can get it twisted, Dr. G, he said, now let me let you, you know, you call me the ordained meddler and And a lot of times when you tell people what thus said the Lord, they try to, you know, sometimes they go a little stray and they want to try to, you know, act like, you know, they gonna put you in your place. and a lot of times they won't put the preacher in his place because he told the truth or the overseer.
Yep.
And Paul said, before y'all get it twisted, let me tell you what I did to remind you that, you know, this thing is of God and it's not of me, and I don't owe you nothing. You don't owe me nothing. We owe ourselves to the Lord. So don't get off course. So Paul, as you get ready to leave him, he's saying, now let me, you know, I didn't gave you the word, and it might have stung a little bit. So before you start throwing hate mail and emails and texts and running me down because your feelings got hurt and you and your emotions, and you want to talk about the pastor ain't this and the overseer ain't this and they doing this, and if you read in between the lines of these next couple of verses, he just doing this to try to take your money, and the preacher been taking your money, and Paul said, ho, bumpy brain. He says in verse 33, he said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Uh-huh. And Paul is getting them straight. He's saying, don't try to come sideways and get it twisted. And the NIV says, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. Verse 34, he says, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. So in other words, Paul said, I'm not doing this for money. I'm not doing this for you to give me. You can't pay me. You can't pay me enough. I'm doing this because of the Lord, and God has supplied me with the ability to take care of me and my companions. So don't try to go there to try to get away from what the word said. And I look at this and I'm like, well, why did God have to put this? Why did God put this in there? He put it in there for the congregation and for the overseer that, you know, we shouldn't take advantage of each other, and we have to make sure that we know that the love of money is the root of all evil. So Paul says, I'm not in it for the money, and you shouldn't be in it either. We should be in it for ministry. And in that verse 35, he says, Jesus says, it is more blessed, he's quoted Jesus, more blessed to give than to receive. And so if we look at verse 35, he says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, ministry is a thing of service. Ministry isn't a thing of you get rich or I get rich, but it's a thing of personal responsibility and service to each other and service to the Lord, not of self-gain, not of coveting someone else's money or money, someone else's silver, or someone else's gold, or someone else's apparel. But it's someone else's apparel, someone's clothing, apparel, but right. It's for demonstrating the love of God to those that are weak, those that are in need, and not taking advantage of people for selfish or monetary gain. But, you know, when I was looking at this last week and this week, it was like, why did he have to put this in here right after the warning? Because people will try to go on these conspiracy theories and get you off track, and then people do take advantage of people. You hear it all the time of people in religious organizations taking advantage of people by demanding a certain kind of money for ministry. But God lets us know, amen, that He'll give you what you need to be able to take care of yourself and take care of your companion. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, I think back for the past, what, 2.5 years during the pandemic when the money stopped coming in like they were. I didn't take a salary. I didn't take anything. Then think what, maybe last part of last year, whatever they could give was fine. But that was the least thing that was on my mind. My biggest thing was to try to get over the pandemic, be able to get back into the building, finish getting the renovations done, and let the Lord lead us in everything that we were doing. You know, I thank God that I've never been one that's really focused on money. Even earlier in my ministry, you know, if they wanted to, you know, increase my salary, fine. You know, I never went up saying, look, I need X amount to do this, that,
right,
or the
other.
And you're right, because there are a lot of preachers, overseers, they come in with a set amount that they want in order to pastor the church. And, you know, that's just not what we're about. As you said, we are servants. And, you know, we ought to be paid accordingly, but it ought to be spirit-led. If they don't have it, so be it. You know, as long as we give people what they need, God gets the glory. He will take care of us. And I used to tell folks all the time, don't get that messed up, because I work every day. And I had to come out and you know, just to make sure that they don't think, okay, they're paying me a salary. No, this is not a salary. I go to work every day. I bring home a paycheck. And, in fact, I give more than what I'm getting. So, you know, Paul has to put that in there, because people in the church will get it wrong.
Hey, Sheila G., help me out here.
I said, and think they can buy you, because then that's where, and it's interesting how he's going through all of this. And you still see it in the 21st century church. He talked about those among you that will be coming against you, the sheep in wolves' clothing. They're going to be savages. It could be even the man that walks next. Now he's talking about the money and things. And we've been in churches long enough. We've been associated with a lot of churches that where members believe because they tithe more than Sister So-and-so, then they should have the front pew, and they should have all the decisions in the church. It's like Paul is putting all, making them aware of all the stumbling blocks that Satan's going to throw your way. And you look at these last few verses, it's basically saying, this is what Satan's going to throw at you. So you need to be sanctified. And the way you're going to be sanctified is you need to focus on the Lord. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. You cannot let your ego, your power, what man says, popularity or any of that, or what somebody may want to buy you, so that they can get the attention, because he said even earlier that some people would do it because they want the people to follow behind them. He put that in the verse. Because you had people in church that just want to have all the best people, all the best singers, all of that. And he's saying, put this mess aside. It's coming. But if you are sanctified, God will give you that inheritance so you can walk through it. But you can never say, like our mom and dad used to tell us, you can never say, I didn't tell you there's some dangers out in the world, and this is what you got to do to keep from falling into those dangerous pits.
Amen, amen. And then I like verse 36, Dr. G, where you say you just going to pray on them. In verse 36, in Acts 20, he says, when Paul had finished speaking, after he gave this warning and speaking to them, what did he do? He knelt down with all of them and what? And prayed. Lord have mercy. he knelt down and with all of them prayed. In other words, let's get on one accord. After what he quoted Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, he finished off his sermon. It's more blessed to receive. Jesus says more blessed to receive and more blessed to give than to receive. And he finished that up. He said after he finished speaking, verse 36, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And the King James said, and when he said thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. So when we all pray, We kneel down and pray. What that does is that allows us to be on one accord. That allows us to pray the will of God, pray in the Spirit, pray for God's will to be done, because the trials and the tribulations will keep on coming. But if we can stay on one accord in God and not get it twisted, as you say, Dr. G, and not go through those crazy things that causes the church to break up, and like you said, Sheila G, to become sanctified and committed. When we do those things, we can make it through, and Paul knows this. So when he prays in verse 37, he says, they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. And what grieved them the most was his statement. This was early on when we were saying this. He said, this is going to be the last time some of you are not going to see me anymore. And so what grieved them the most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. In other words, this was the last time they were going to see him in his earthly ministry form. And so they grieved, and they kissed him, and they saluted him off as he continued his final leg of ministry. And sometimes you don't miss your water until your well run dry. Sometimes you don't miss the person that was been good to you and ministered to you in the good times and the bad times until they no longer there. Sometimes you treat your folk and treat your family and treat your mother and your father bad and treat the preacher bad, and Lord have mercy. And then when the mother and the father and the preacher ain't around no more, then you get to a place where you say, well, they wasn't bad, that bad after all. I'm not going to preach tonight, but if you look at this thing. Paul is saying, I kept the faith. I ministered to you day and night with tears. I've given you everything you need to be successful. I'm not going to be here with you always. And I can hear our parents saying, I'm not going to be able to be every place with you all the time, but I've given you what you need to be successful. Lord have mercy. And when the preacher is no longer there, reflect back that they've given you everything that you need to be successful, and be thankful and be grateful to God that he gives pastors after his own heart, that he gives overseers after his own heart, that he allows somebody, Lord have mercy, in the midst of this evil and perverse world to stand up and say what thus said the Lord, to tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ, to say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, that he would cry out to those that are in darkness, that he would shine a light and tell somebody that there's no need to stay in darkness, because the Son of God has come down through 40 and two generations and shined the light in darkness, that whosoever will should be able to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior of their life. And this is the message that Paul has preached to these folks for 3 years, and now he's coming to an end, and now they're recognizing, Lord have mercy, we took this for granted. And now this is the end of this servant of God, and we're going to miss him. Sheila G, help me out.
Amen. And you know, when you look at these, and even in this whole book of Acts, it really lays out from this first century church a lot of things that we do in our services. In other words, we're not necessarily just doing them out of tradition or religiousness or anything like that, but it is following those things that were placed in the Bible. So when it talks about after he said all of this and he talked to them, they prayed and they wept.
Yeah.
It made me think of two things that we do in service. Altar call. When we're calling everybody together and we're telling everybody to make your request known unto God, a lot of times we'll say, is there anything specific you need to pray for? You know, we're going to start getting a prayer box so the pastor can have that. And, you know, we used to put it in chat during Zoom. So that's bringing that congregational prayer together. then you weep because you're on one accord, but it's in the Bible. So we're not just doing altar call because somebody way back when decided to do it. It is coming directly from God's word of, okay, the word is being delivered, but also let's come on one accord, pray together, and then at the end, the benediction. Before we leave, we have prayer before you leave service. And, you know, and Pastor, and looking at it now, I never really thought about it. But Pastor G used to always tell me that it was not good to leave church early before the benediction, because that's one of the most important prayers before you walk out the door. And when I see this scripture, I'm like, whoop, there it is, right there in the word. They prayed right before they left through all that service, which is the altar call and the benediction.
Amen. Amen, Dr. G.
Well, I think Shibla said a mouthful, but she is right. You know, the thing is, as a preacher, as pastors, you know, we do what we can to help folk. And just like with Paul, you know, Paul was coming to the end, and the only thing left for him to do was to pray, because he was getting ready to leave them. And I was just sitting here thinking about parents. You know, I think about my own parents, how they raised us, and when they, you know, they would always tell us, see, you don't appreciate me now, but when I'm gone,
come
all
on,
that I know. And here we are, you know, I've said the same thing to my kids. Some of them hear it, some of them don't. But the day that we close our eyes, I told my kids, I don't anybody crying and you're trying to get into the casket with me, because that is not the time you should have really thought about it. You know, we have to take advantage of the time that God gives us. And we need to really wake up and smell the coffee, because, you know, when you look at everything that's going on in the world, you know, if the last days and times wasn't here before, it's beginning to hit now. And playtime is over with. We really got to pay attention. And if we are serious, and I'll go back with that little word, if we're serious about our walk with Christ, it's got to be more action than just turkey talk. You know, we talk a good game, but the Lord want to see, are you going to step it up even when you don't feel like it? I mean, you know, I've told New Birth, you know, it would be nice if the pastor could call out on Sunday morning and say, well, look, I'm not feeling well. I'll carry on. But see, it's just not like that. I mean, there have been many times when aches and pains, but I find that when I'm on and I do what God wants, the pain becomes less bearable. I don't worry about the pain. I'm caught up in the spirit, and folk have got to understand that.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We can go to our phone line. Lord have mercy. We're going to ask the question, do you miss your water when your well runs dry? We're going to go to the first caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, we do miss our water when the well runs dry, but thank God that there were some wells that was able to give some water, and some water that was beneficial. And I thank God for Jesus, who gave me the everlasting water and continues to give me that through the Holy Spirit every day. But I think of the teaching of my mother and my father and what they had done and the things that taught. And even when my mother was dying on her deathbed, we still talked about the Lord. We still prayed. And prayer was something that my family done. Whenever we got together, before we left, everybody assembled and we prayed. We held hands together and we prayed. And so prayer is so vital. It's so crucial. We need that praying, and we need that unity and that fellowship there. And it's so crucial. The other thing about Paul that I love, Paul poured in what God gave to him. And he taught, he was that example. And he wasn't threatened by man or felt that man, you know, sometimes we feel that people, if we give people too much, they're going to take from us, or they're going to be greater than we are. But Paul's agenda was Christ. He wasn't concerned about himself. He wasn't concerned about power. He wasn't concerned about making a name. He was concerned about doing the will of the Lord. And so I praise God for the examples that he has left here for us, not only in the word, but here today. And I thank God, you know, for the teachings that I get every Thursday. I thank God for the preaching that I get. I just thank God for my Christian walk and for the people that have crossed my path. Yeah. Everybody has not been a good example, but most of the people have been a good example. But, you know, God gives us that discernment that, you know, we ask him to lead us and direct us, show us what he wants us to do. So I thank God for the blessing, and I thank him for the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we open ourselves up, God will teach us. He will help us. But we have to get to the point that we are always teachable. We never know it all. And when we open up our minds and our spirit, and every day we pray, Lord, I want a better relationship. I want to know more about you. I want to be able to help somebody else. God's going to give it to us. He's going to bless us. But we have to want it. You got to want it. And he will not withhold no good thing from you. He will bless you because he wants you to have it. He's not going to have nobody to stand before stand before him and say they did not have an opportunity. They every man will have an opportunity. You want to go to church, God will make a way for you to get to church.
Yes, he will.
He will make, if you want to serve him, he will make a way for you to serve him.
Come on,
that kind of God. And so he loves you. And he loved you so much, as you said, Pastor, he sent Jesus, his only begotten son.
Come on now. Come on.
So that's the kind of love that he has. And so anybody that has that much love for us, whatever we need, God will provide. He will make a way.
Amen.
Give us whatever we need. All we have to do is humble ourselves and come to him. And I thank God. I thank God for grace. And I pray that he will continue to let me grow in his grace, continue to let me be humble and seek his face, not only just for me, so that I can help somebody else as I go along this way. I thank God for the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Pastor Kason, would you repeat the question, please?
Yes, just as you look at ministry, think about you don't miss your water till your well runs dry.
Yeah, well, okay. I understand what that phrase means and what it symbolizes, but I'm just thankful that since he came, Jesus Christ came into my life, he has taught me to treat people the right way, to speak different to people, taught me a good lesson about being humble. And the main thing is being committed. Once you commit yourself, I feel like once I committed myself, I feel like I belong somewhere. You know, I don't have to run around here and say, oh, I ain't got the right clothes to put on. I ain't got the right shoes to put on. Oh, I ain't got no money to pay this and pay that. Commit yourself to God. You don't have to have that. You don't have to have money to close, because he is going to provide everything that you need. So I understand it says you don't wish your water, you don't miss your water till the well runs dry. But for me, I feel like I love the Lord. I know I love him. I'm going to do everything that I can to keep his commandments. And I know that he is going to take care of me. He's going to always make a way. And I just thank him for his mercy and grace.
Amen.
And that's helpful to me along the way, to not missing something. You know, yeah, I might miss something, but I'm not going to thrive on it. I'm not going to lay down and say, oh, I wish I hadn't. No, because I'm committed to God. And that commitment gives me carte blanche to go anywhere I want and be with anybody I want, and I can be just as good as they are, look just as good, and I don't have to worry about that. You know, so, yes, yeah. I understand that faith, but my
Amen.
Commitment is to the Lord. I thank him for giving me, letting me have a personal relationship with him. Anything that bothers me, anything that comes up, and I got to pray, I'm going to go to him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask him to lead and direct my path, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. I'm not going to go to the left. He said go to the right. I'm going to the right. I ain't going to be no second
right.
hand. I'm going straight to the
all
right. That's it. That's all, you know, because he is the one. He is the only one that's going to see after me and take care of me because I'm committing myself to him. Like I said, I feel like I belong somewhere. That commitment is what
yeah.
I need in my life. You know, you don't have to guess about anything. You committed to that, you're going to do this. Don't nobody have to remind me to do nothing because it's clockwork. It's in my head. It's in my body. It's what
yeah.
I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to give all the honor and praise that he deserves
Amen.
For what he did for me in my life and what I've seen him do in other people's lives. So
Amen.
I just thank you for listening. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last 4 digits 0266. 0266. Good evening. All right. 0266 must be listening in. Gonna go to our next caller. Last 4 digits 8760. 8760. Good evening. All right, let's listen in. Let's go to our next caller. Last 4 digits 9880. 9880. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi.
I do, you know, I'm just listening to everybody, and I definitely can relate. And I do feel like, you know, we don't miss the water till the well does run dry at times, and that's why it's just kind of important to remain humble and just always be grateful, recognize the start,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to recognize where we used to be. You know, when we think about, oh, you know, I had a rough day at work, or, oh, there's so much going on now, and I just feel like it's just truly important to just be grateful and recognize, like, I may have had a rough day or a rough week or whatever is going on, but I'm not where I was, you know, a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, you know. So I just think that, you know, just maintaining a nice balance just of just remembering where God, how far God has brought us is just truly important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at times it's going to happen where, you know, we don't realize how much we miss something until it's like, oh, man, it's gone. You know what I mean? But I just,
mm-hmm.
I truly believe that, you know, continuing what helps me to kind of stay on track and try to remain as grateful as possible, you know, is just to remind myself,
right.
like, you know, just like you've come a long way. You know, God has brought
right.
you so far, and look at you now compared to where you were, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, great great question. I'm definitely familiar with this this proverb. And for me, speaking in the realm of Christianity, I've been fortunate and I've been blessed because there were many times that I almost came close to losing it and not being tapped into the power source. But, you know, I just thank God that, you know, I had a lot of people around me to teach me, as everybody stated, how humble I was and how blessed I was. And the other thing, too, was I got to watch, kind of going off this analogy that we're talking about, I got to watch other people take for granted being tapped into the source and tapped into the well and being so unappreciative of the different fluctuations of the well. You know, sometimes your well is overflowing. Sometimes
yeah.
It's halfway full. Sometimes it's a little dry, but we got to kind of weather the storm and just appreciate the fact that God has still kept us and God is still able. And then I've even seen people unplug from the source and say, well, this well ain't working for me. Let me go travel and find another source to tap into. And those people are no longer here, or they realize, like, man, I was in a good space, but I tried to do it my way. I tried to go tap into a worldly source, and then they end up getting further away from their goal and their destination. So I've had to go through some ups and downs, but I stayed connected to the source. I learned to appreciate the water that came from the well. I learned to appreciate the fact that, you know what, I can't be looking at everybody else's well that's overflowing, because just like the old saying used to go, but like, you know, mow your own grass or farm your own land. It's like, you know, the grass ain't always greener on the other side.
That's right.
Guess what? If you maintain your grass, it'll be just as green
as
somebody else's. Yeah. So if I maintain my own well, I stay consistent with my well, I do what I need to do, God's going to take care of me. But I think sometimes as Christian, we look at everybody else's well. Oh, their well is overflowing. They draw down and just keep drawing from the well, drawing from the well. But it's like, but that's their life. That's their journey. That's the destination and the place that they're going. But we got to appreciate what we have, what God has in store
that's
for
right.
us. And what my blessings are may not be your blessings. The timeliness of your blessings may not be the timeliness of my blessings. So we've got to stay humble and we've got to stay committed and understand. And I think you guys have said it so many times, like, nobody else can get you into heaven. You can't worry about what Joe Blow did or somebody
that's
else
right.
did or what's going on. You got to account for your actions and what you did and what you didn't do while we were here on earth. So I've definitely learned the importance of, you know, being appreciative of what we have, because yes, I've been on this journey for over 40 years. And guess what? I've lost some things that I know I can't get back. And yes, do I have days and moments where I realize, like, man, if I'd only done this or only done that, or the mindset I have now, I wish I could take it back 20 years ago and how far along I would be. And that's the trap. You got to just accept it and say, you know what, I learned from it. God allowed it. Didn't kill me. It made me stronger. And you know what? Maybe that wasn't for me. Maybe I had to go through that to get to where I'm at now. But, you know, I'm just totally grateful, because I know so many people in my life that, or used to be in my life, that didn't appreciate what they had. They took it for granted, whether it be a loved one, whether it be a career, whether it be just anything that they aspire to do. They just couldn't wait. And, you know, and as Christians, we are so impatient. We want it now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to put the work in. And God has so many blessings for us, but it's difficult. You know, we've got so many temptations out here. We've got so many people that are in our ear that mean well, but it's like, I can't listen to you if you don't have God in your heart or you don't have a word from the Lord. So it's like, our friends mean well, but we can't listen to everything from everybody, because it may not be meant for us, or that's going to get us further away from our goal. But, you know, I definitely understand the importance of making sure that we stay connected to the source and appreciate what you got. You got a well, you got some water in it, appreciate it.
That's right.
Maybe there's going to be a day where that well fill up, appreciate it the same way you, if that well is half full or bone dry, but you got to understand that it is a process. It ain't going to happen overnight. And I think as long as we stay committed and connected to that source, God's got it, man. We came along this far. There have been days that I had that I thought I wasn't going to make it through the end of the month. And grace to God, I'm that's 20 years ago, how many years ago. So if God's done it before, he'll definitely do it again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next call. The last four digits, 7971. 7971, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. I'm so happy that I could be on the line tonight. And the question is a good question. You never miss your water till your well run dry. And Pastor Gregory, when you said about someone dying and you crying in the casket, when my dad died, I didn't get in the casket, but that was the greatest hurt of my life. But I thank God that he and my mom left a legacy in all of their 11 children.
Amen.
We followed the journey with God. And I can truthfully say to all of you, God has been good to me. And my husband said when he first met me, he said, you're the most arrogant woman I've ever met, and an independent woman I've ever met in my life. But my dad taught us all that he always taught us this: God bless the child that has his own. Never expect anybody to do anything for you that you can do for yourself.
That's right.
And we have lived that life. We have followed Christ. we've had some pitfalls, but they were nothing to be, you could cry over, that he didn't solve for you, because you knew that God loved you. Besides your parents loving you, God loved you. That was embedded into your brain. And we pass it on to you children.
Amen.
And for us to live life today, to see our offsprings, our children, and our children's children, and our siblings' children, follow that journey, it's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
People don't like to hear that because they say you're bragging. They say you this and you that. But how can you lie about how good God's been to you?
That's right.
Me personally, I've been married all my life. That's all I know. I was a good mom, a good wife, and God blessed me. And he keeps on blessing me. And I thank God that my well has not run dry.
All right, man.
It has. And I've shared everything that God gave
That's right.
me. I've
that's
shared
right.
it. Why? Because that's what I saw in my growing up as a child. As a child. And we see in the world today that people are going astray. They go astray because they don't have that fundamental upbringing in the life of Christ.
Amen.
The holy life, the holy life, the good life, the love of God implanted in you. And you can't describe it. You can't describe it. I can't think of a situation that he didn't bring me through. My car accident was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, man.
It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I could go on telling you about it, but you know the story.
Yeah.
And I'm 81 years old, and I just
explained Hallelujah.
To my cousin, my second cousin, she called me, and she was running it down to me about the crucifixion, the resurrection, the everything. And as she was reading it, I was saying to her what she was reading to me. And when she finished, I said, job well done. These were her exact words to me. Did you know that? I said, well, you read yours, and I knew mine. Longevity. And pastor, and I told her, I've been to a lot of churches and heard a lot of teaching. I said, but my blood nephew, I always call him my son, Anthony Brown Sr., and she went into Revelations. I said, I can send you what he taught me. Maybe that'll help you. But I know it.
All right.
I try
All right.
so hard to live it every day. And I pass it on to other people. And she was crying and she thanked me. She said, I never thought of it like that. She went to the scroll and God being the only one that could open this and open that. And I said, because he was the only pure, holy one. No one else has lived a sinless life, but Jesus. She was going to tell me about God the Father and this and that. And I was, she was flipping through the scroll. She was flipping through her Bible, and I was going along with her. But longevity has its privileges, and I thank God for him allowing me to live 81 years and a good, clean life with my family, with you children, to leave that legacy for you all to pass to your children from generation to generation.
That's right.
It has its privileges and it has its accomplishment and journey with God. You can't get any better than what we have had in our family circle. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I thank you, children, for being who you are, for loving the Lord, and being in this position to still teach us old folk how God wants it. Thank you all.
God bless all of you.
Have a blessed Resurrection Sunday.
You too. Love you.
Amen.
Bye.
Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Sheila G, that's going to do it for us tonight. You have some final comments and closes out in prayer, please.
After all of that, all I can say is to God be the glory. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you once again for another powerful Bible study lesson. I pray, Father, that we will take the words that you're teaching, that we will walk with you, talk with you, and be more committed to you as we grow in your grace. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.